What does the word sainthood mean to you? Do you picture pious men and women gazing heavenwards with halos around their heads? Or do you imagine any of your favourite saints laughing and sharing a good joke with their friends? Well, that's among the rather unusual challenges presented in a best-selling book by Jesuit priest Jim Martin, associate editor of the Catholic magazine America. Entitled My Life with the Saints, the volume, which features in the top 100 books of 2006, sets out to dispel a few myths and present a rather more humorous and down-to-earth side of many of the best-known saints down the centuries. My colleague Susie Hodges has been taking a closer look.
Now with the saints, now with the saints, go watch it.
A book about saints, written by a Catholic priest, might not seem the typical subject likely to become a bestseller in today's secularized society. But to his own surprise, Father Jim Martin's book has proved so popular with readers that it's now in its seventh printing. My Life with the Saints was named by Publishers Weekly in the US as one of the 100 best books of 2006 and was also chosen as one of the recipients of a prestigious media award for 2007. This spiritual memoir includes not just a biographical overview of a wide assortment of saints, but the surprising influence they have had on his own life. I spoke to Father Jim to find out more about his best-selling book.
Well, I think that the saints are naturally attractive to people, and I think that the success of My Life with the Saints shows that these stories, the real-life stories of the saints, are very appealing to people, and I think people can find some of their own stories in the lives of the saints.
And what specific message are you trying to get across in this book?
Well, there is one basic message, which is taken from the Trappist monk Thomas Merton, who said that, "For me to be a saint means to be myself." And as I go through the stories of the saints and I go through my own story, I try to show the reader that each of the saints was, as John the 23rd said, holy in a different way, that each of the saints manifested a special kind of holiness, and that for us to follow the universal call to holiness, it's not necessary to become someone else. It's necessary really to just become our true selves and be the person that God created us to be.
And what are some of your favorite saints, and for what reasons?
Well, I always laugh when people ask me that because I feel like I'm sort of denigrating one to raise the other ones up. But I like Thérèse of Lisieux. She, I think, is my favorite just because of her notion of the little way, doing little things with love, which I think really everyone can sort of find comfort in and everyone can kind of follow. I like Blessed John the 23rd because he's so funny. There are so many wonderfully funny stories about John the 23rd, and he was such a witty person. And I think I also like, he's not a saint yet, but Thomas Merton, the Trappist monk, he's been a great hero in my life. So I like a saint, a blessed, and a near saint. That's my sort of trio of favorite saints.
And what was it that first gave you the idea for writing this book? Has it been something you've been longing to do for quite a time?
Well, you know, I started to think about the lives of the saints as far back as a Jesuit novice about 20 years ago. And along the way, during formation, I would write down sort of little reflections on the lives of the saints. And I started writing this book in earnest about 6 or 7 years ago when it dawned on me that there weren't that many stories of the saints that integrated the author's own life. And so in this book, what I try to do is tell a little bit about my story as a Jesuit and, you know, as a person who's getting deeper and deeper into the Catholic faith over his life, and introduce the readers to the saints as I meet them. And so, in a sense, the book proceeds chronologically. You follow me, and you also meet the saints, you know, as I'm coming into a contact with them and reading about their life stories. And hopefully, for the reader, it's a kind of journey for the reader as you follow me through my own journey.
Talking about these readers, have you had any kind of interesting or particularly memorable feedback from them?
Well, just the other day, I got a letter from a woman who said that she so liked the book and so liked the cover of the book, which is taken from the tapestries that hang in the Cathedral of Los Angeles, that she made a pilgrimage from the Midwest of the United States to Los Angeles, which is a rather long pilgrimage, just to see these tapestries. And I've had wonderful comments from people who read about it in book clubs and, you know, read about it in their parishes. And it's been very gratifying. I really do think that it shows us that these saints' lives are still vibrant. And I talk about people who a lot of people didn't know about, such as the Ugandan martyrs, and even the life of someone like Thomas Aquinas. I think most people know his theology, but not his fairly exciting and unusual life, that I think it just astonishes people. And so it's very gratifying to me that the saints are being rediscovered.
Were you quite surprised by the success of this book?
Yeah, I was very surprised by the success of the book. It's in its seventh printing already, and I go across the country, and it seems like everyone has read it. But it's very gratifying, and I have to sort of smile to myself when I have to say that, you know, it's not my stories, it's the saints' stories that people are really finding appealing. And I always laugh to think that maybe the saints themselves are, you know, doing a little intercession to get people to rediscover their lives.
Good deal, eh?
One of the key features of Father Jim's book is the self-effacing humour and wit used by the author. But did Jesus ever crack a joke? And do saints ever laugh or tell funny stories? In a recent article on humour and the Christian life, Father Jim argues that laughter and joy have always been essential to the life of the Church. As he went on to illustrate to me, far from what some people might think, Christianity is not all about doom and gloom.
I think that, as someone said to me recently, the good news should put a smile on our face. And I really do think that this whole notion of humor and laughter and joy, really, which is really resurrection joy, has been overlooked. And even Pope Benedict recently quoted someone saying that the angels can fly because they don't take themselves so very seriously. My favorite comment is, I think, from Teresa of Avila, who said, "A sad nun is a bad nun," and that she was more afraid of one sad and grumpy sister than a whole host of evil spirits. But I think we have to recover this notion of humor in the spiritual life as not being something to sort of be embarrassed about, because as a friend of mine likes to say, when you're deadly serious, you're seriously dead.
As you mentioned earlier, Pope John the 23rd is famous for his wit. Now, can you give us some examples of this wit and this humor that this much-loved pope used?
Well, John the 23rd, I was first drawn to him by a book called The Wit and Wisdom of John the 23rd. And, of course, I'm saying this on Vatican Radio, but his most famous joke was when a journalist innocently asked him, "Your Holiness, how many people work in the Vatican?" And he said, "About half of them." So that's the one that always gets a laugh from people. The other one that's wonderful is he was at a dinner party once in France when he was the nuncio in Paris, and there was a woman with a very low-cut gown sitting across from him showing a lot of cleavage, and his secretary said to him, "Your Eminence," he was a cardinal then, "Your Eminence, aren't you embarrassed?" And he said, "Why?" And the secretary said, "Well, everyone is looking at that woman with the low-cut dress." And the cardinal said back to him, "Oh, no," he said, "no one's looking at the woman with the low-cut dress. Everyone is looking at me to see if I am looking at the woman with the low-cut dress." So there's this great sense of sort of playfulness. I talk about a letter that he had gotten when he was a pope, and it said, "Dear Pope, I have a question for you. Should I be a policeman or should I be pope?" And John the 23rd wrote back and said, "Dear Bruno," that was his name, "if you want my opinion, learn to be a policeman, for that cannot be improvised. As regards becoming pope, anyone can become pope. The proof is that I have become one. If you're ever in Rome, please stop by, and I will be glad to talk this over with you." So John was just very funny and very humble in that way, and I think he used his humor, this is one thing I point out in the article, to keep himself humble and also to remind people not to take themselves so seriously.
Are there any other examples of witty pontiffs that you know?
Well, actually, I think of the picture as soon as you said that of John Paul II. There's a famous picture of him sort of making kind of circles with his eyes. I think you've seen that, and sort of pretending that he was wearing goggles. So there is a lot of examples of John Paul being very witty. And I think I'm more familiar with the lives of the saints. There's another story of Padre Pio, who during the 1960s, a lot of people would carry his picture around in Italy as a protection against the Red Brigades, as a protection against violence in the city. And one day he was going into Rome and someone asked Padre Pio, aren't you worried about going into Rome? And Padre Pio said, oh, no, I have a picture of Padre Pio with me. So I think, you know, the saints, I always tell people, you know, being close to God leads to being joyful, and being joyful leads to humor and laughter and high spirits. And if you think of someone like Francis of Assisi, it's easy to think of them being in high spirits. And yet today we have this stereotype of the saint as being grumpy and dour and depressed all the time, which I think is really a disservice. And I think we have to recover that notion of the saints laughing, and even, as I say in the article, Jesus laughing.
You say even Jesus laughing. There, the humor was a little bit more difficult for us in modern days to understand. But, I mean, do we know, in fact, if Jesus ever cracked a joke? And, you know, how can you explain better, perhaps, the humor that there is in the Gospels?
Well, I spoke to a number of scripture scholars about this, and one of the things that they said was that the parables, for example, would have been seen not only as clever, but actually funny. Laugh out loud funny, and that what we consider as funny may not be what the people in first century Palestine considered funny, and vice versa, more importantly. So for a number of scripture scholars, the setup was very interesting. So the idea that a mustard seed would have sprouted into a big bush, or that someone would have a speck in their eye and you would have a log in your own eye, that would have been seen as funny. And as one person pointed out, Jesus himself was very clever and told funny stories, and people who tell clever or funny stories usually like to laugh. So, and I also point to the example of Nathanael, who Jesus sees, and Nathanael says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" which is a bit of a joke against Jesus' hometown. And rather than being offended, Jesus just thinks that's great and says, "Here is an Israelite without deceit," and asks him to join the apostles. So I think it's pretty clear, at least to me, that Jesus must have had a good sense of humor. And so if we can consider that and hold that in tension with, you know, the man of sorrows, I think that's really important for our spiritual lives.
And talking about sorrows, I gather that there's also some cases where even some saints, when they're about to be killed for their faith, about to be martyred, they were able to crack a joke about their appalling situation, like Sir Thomas More and St. Lawrence. Wasn't that right?
That's exactly right. St. Lawrence was burned to death on a gridiron, and he famously called out to his executioners, "Turn me over, I'm done on this side." And Thomas More, when he was being led to the chopping block, he said to his executioner, "Well, help me up, you know, help me up these stairs, but I'll take care of myself on the way down." And so there's this great, wonderful humor that says, "I don't fear death." And I think there's so many different uses of humor. I think for the martyrs in those situations, it's a real ringing testament to their faith in Christ.
Well, we've talked about all the examples of humor, but there were some saints, weren't there, that were against joking, like St. Paul and St. Ambrose. Why was that?
Well, I think at the time, humor was seen as kind of against the project of Christianity because they were so intent on combating heresy. St. Paul warns that we should avoid smartness in talk. St. Ambrose said, "Joking should be avoided even in small talk." And a lot of people say that the church fathers at that time, under the influence of Greek and Roman culture, saw humor as inappropriate, but more to the point, seem to have seen it as inappropriate because the project of Christianity at that time was combating heresy, which was seen as a very serious topic. But I think it's important to recognize that, you know, we really ignore humor and joy at our peril because, you know, once again, it is the good news. It's not the bad news. And if it's the good news, it should put a smile on our face. And there's a sense that joy naturally attracts people to a person, and you want to be around someone like a Francis of Assisi or a Mother Teresa or a John Paul II who was joyful and really seemed to enjoy and be inspired by the gospel. I don't think anyone wants to spend time around someone who's grumpy and depressed all the time. I certainly don't. And that's why I would imagine that of all people, Jesus himself was the most joyful person ever.
Susie Hodges was talking there to Father Jim Martin, associate editor of the Catholic magazine America and author of My Life with the Saints, published by Loyola Press in March 2006.